This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity expert, Gary Malefsky. Gary brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
One of my favorite companies, great CEO, Hector Guillermo Martinez is here. He's the president of GM SecTech, has my initials in it, GM SecTech. They are incredible. We're talking 55 years in business, over 50 countries to lead PCI. This is PCI payment card industry stuff. This is, if you can't do it yourself, you need a managed service provider. And this is the longest standing PCI-led managed security company in the world. Honored to have you. Hector, welcome to the hot seat.
Great to be here, Gary. Great to see you. Thank you for having me.
So there's a lot going on in the PCI industry. Last year, we talked about PCI 4.0. Now, what's going on with the PCI Standards Council and the standard and best practices versus hard requirements?
Yeah, no, great question. And again, this is obviously a very, very particular area, to your point, in payments. And, you know, there's a flurry of activity in our part of the world and in our industry, given these changes. And we touched on these a little bit last year. But this year is actually a very, very important point and time frame, given that April 1st, hard requirements for the whole industry came into effect. So there's a flurry of activity. There's a lot of anxiety out there. But, you know, there's a lot of good guys supporting the industry. It's interesting. And the way that I try to frame this is looking back into our history as a company, as well as the history of the PCI Council. And just to do a 30-second commercial, if you'll humor me. You know, 55 years in the industry, we were born in payments, right? We were a payments processor. My father started the company in 1970 as a payments processor before payments processors really existed. You know, we did it in the old knucklebusters and all those different elements that were in that space. We became one of the first VisaNet processors, non-banking certified VisaNet processors in the 80s. And then we pivoted after we did an exit in 99. That company, we took it public as an organization, and we looked at security right around 9/11. What's interesting is around 2005, the PCI Council really came to be. It's really thanks to Visa. Visa started this with what they called their 12 commandments, and they really brought the industry together with MasterCard, American Express, Discover, JCB, to bring the PCI Council really to make it be, and to be an industry heavyweight where it's not Visa or it's MasterCard, because as you can imagine, when a breach happened before that, you know, every brand had their own rules. So you had a point of sale system that accepted credit cards. It's okay, the Visa brand has its rules, MasterCard. So it's a mess for merchants and for banks and acquirers. So this was really a way to get a common language together so that companies could react in real time and at the same time provide visibility to the brands that, you know, there's trust in the ecosystem, because without trust, there's no payment rail. So the PCI standard started in 2005. With version 1.0, I know that you were part of this a long time ago, and it's evolved and it's had a lot of changes across the fold. And as a company, GM SecTech, we were, you know, providing managed security services, but we found very quickly, Gary, and I know you see this in your interviews and across Cyber Defense Magazine, you know, this is a very noisy field. This is a very decentralized industry. So we found out very quickly as we pivoted into security at the beginning of the millennium, that we needed to be a little more elegant or more sophisticated in the information security conversation. So even though we were born as managed security services, we went back to mama, so to speak, because we came from payments. So payment card industry data security standard was really a natural progression into what we knew. And we became one of the early QSA companies. We've grown through acquisition. We've also acquired companies throughout our history. But we were very early on into the PCI game, as a way to stimulate our conversation, but also to be more sophisticated in this industry and say, by the way, we can help you with an assessment, but we can also help you with managed security services as a one-stop approach to the customer flywheel, so to speak. And so we've seen the industry evolve. We've seen the PCI DSS standard evolve as well. It has evolved over the years, and now we're in version 4.0.1. So as you can imagine, as there's been a transition from the previous iteration, which was 3.2.1 to 4.0 and now 4.0.1, there's been a very long transition period. A lot of anxiety, but like many companies wait till the end to really invest in new technologies, new methodologies, new processes to be compliant. So April 1st was the aha moment for the industry, because all these, you know, 60 plus new requirements, really 50 plus new requirements have come online, and there's new investments required. such as, for example, leveraging data discovery. Data discovery, or the industry uses many acronyms. There's data security posture management, DSPM. There's many of these, but data discovery is a big one for the PCI standard because you need to qualify and identify if you have cardholder data in your environment to be protected and to be validated as compliant. That's really, really important, Gary, because that's what the standard is looking to do: protect cardholder data, right? We need to protect the PAN, the primary account number, the 16 digits in front or the back of the credit card. So data discovery is a big thing. Now you have to look outside of the cardholder data environment for that. Payment scripts are a big thing. There's something around requirement 6, requirement 11, which is super important for the PCI standard with regards to application security, payment scripts, as well as authenticated scans. And that's a big one as well. You need to do vulnerability management for your organization. You need to do authenticated scans. So there's a collection of new requirements that requires new investments of many companies that even if they've been compliant for many years, this is a real forklift for the organization. So there's a lot of anxiety, but the good news, Gary, is that there's a lot of ways, processes that you can manage to be effective and also efficient, right? Such as tokenization.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. And is this the field, Willie Sutton in the 1800s, the bank robber, they asked him, why do you rob banks? He said, because that's where the money is. So is that, there's so many transactions on credit cards that it's billions probably daily, maybe more worldwide. Tell us, how do you secure that and how do you stop the bad guys and what kinds of attacks are they modeling? Is it ransomware attacks? Is it backdoors into payment services? Is it going after e-commerce providers? And how do we help stop them, especially
Yeah.
with tokenization?
Yeah, great question. And let me share a war story. And you and I have talked over the years. I don't know if I shared this one. This is a one that was really interesting. Happened right around the pandemic at the beginning. We get a call. So we cover all the standards in the PCI Council or one of the, there's about 300 plus QSA companies in the world. We sit on the GEAR, which is the Global Executive Assessor Roundtable, where we sit with the top QSACs, the top QSA companies. Where we help to guide the direction of the standard supporting the PCI Council. And within that, there is a unique certification called the PFI, which is the PCI Forensic Investigator. It's about 20 companies. We're the only one that's actually based in Latin America. And it's a really unique one because you have to go through a real process with each of the brands, with Visa, MasterCard, through their digital forensics lens. And we've been a PFI for a couple of years. It's really interesting. We have a forensics lab here in Puerto Rico in our home base where we do malware detonation and our guys get to do a lot of fun stuff in their world. And we got this call around April of 2020 from a financial institution in Central America and saying, hey, we just got hit with something called Maze ransomware, and we've got Visa and MasterCard jumping up and down saying that we need to hire a PFI. We don't know what that is. Help us through that process. So this was a very large financial institution. And when we got in, it was really interesting, Gary. They had 11 million cards exfiltrated by the bad guys, by the threat actor. And it was interesting because this was a very tourist-friendly country. I could tell you that every country you can imagine issues credit cards because they were in those exfiltrated cards. And what was interesting is that this was at the time, Maze ransomware, that variant was, there was a lot of chatter that it was, whether it's, Eastern or Russian backed. I mean, there was a lot of chatter about that, but they didn't, unlock the payload and encrypt the data. They actually used a low and slow approach to really extract information and then extort the bank. They were sending emails saying, hey, we've got your data. We've got your data. If you don't pay us, we're going to publish. And they did exactly that. So it was a big PR nightmare for the financial institution. But given that PFI requires you to look at all the areas in the bank or the financial institution that needs protecting, we found that even though this was a very big bank, they had a lot of areas of opportunity to strengthen and to protect their ecosystem. So we found through the investigation that the 12 requirements for DSS were not in place, which is what you have to do to go through a validation. And that led to attribution, contribution, and cause of the breach. So interesting because ransomware was, it didn't encrypt, right? It didn't encrypt, but they used ransomware as as a front load to use a backdoor approach, so to speak, to take the data out and then extort. And you know, we help the client obviously rebuild and protect their ecosystem. But we found that tactic, technique, or procedure very interesting from the perspective of that organization. And the feedback we gave to the bank saying, guys, tokenize your data. Because if you had a token vault of all this cardholder data, that would have been useless, right? Because again, tokenization, you're taking sensitive information and you're replacing it with a non-sensitive substitute. That's really the best way to define tokenization. And that's what we're doing today. So GM SecTech, at the request of our customers, we've built our own tokenization vault called First Token. We touched on this last year, but the evolution of that is we've created something called Data Buy. And Data Buy, you know, like goodbye, data goodbye, is a way to reduce PCI DSS scope up to 90% of a PCI DSS validation with, you know, outsourcing to our tokenization vault the PCI DSS information, and then doing a small assessment of what's in scope. And that's been tremendous for GM SecTech and also great for the customer, because the customer says, listen, my business is not PCI. My business is to run my business. If I can give you, who are the security experts, a way to protect the information, right? Process, transmit, or store cardholder information, protect that information, then I'm happy because you're a QSA and you've built your tokenization vault. So very exciting times. That's helping us with the evolution of the standard and helping us to reduce that anxiety that I mentioned earlier in the conversation.
Hector, that is amazing. And if this client of yours, would they be a client for not only First Token but and Data Buy, but First Fire? And you know, can you catch the APTs or the bad guys, you know, with their latest ransomware trying to attempt to get in the future?
Yeah, I mean that's a great point, and the response is yes. I mean, absolutely, because First Fire is a vulnerability management solution, and it's our ASV, so it's also a PCI validated solution for vulnerability management in the external quarterly scans that you're required to have, because to be able to have be validated, you need four clean scans. So we are one of the 80 plus solutions within the PCI Council that have our own intellectual property where we run scans on a quarterly basis to ensure that you're clean. And our teams go through a, you know, yearly lab to ensure that we are kosher with the services that we provide. And First Fire is also a very good complement. The way we think about this is, Gary, we have our First Token solution, which is our defensive offering, and then we have First Fire, which is our offensive offering, and then we have our managed services approach, which is all of our services. What's the SIEM as a service? We have obviously security awareness, different elements within the flywheel. Our process to go to market is really taking the 12 requirements of the standard and telling the customer, you can do this on your own and we can validate, but GM SecTech can also help you on that journey, can handhold you on that journey with solutions, with services, and with mentoring, because that's what we do on a daily basis.
That's incredible. And you know, a lot in the ecosphere, a lot of retailers and e-tailers, Hector, are creating their own apps. And there's, you know, cloud APIs and vulnerable APIs in the cloud, and from, you know, endpoint to network to cloud, to just even back to the source code itself, there's some challenges. What are you doing? Are you doing it with partners? What are you doing in that space?
Yeah, it's a great question, Gary. And you know, many years ago, we defined a strategy where PCI for us was that elegance, that sophistication to help our customers. Again, payments, a big area for us, but we always wanted to do more. We have four security operation centers, which operate 24/7, 365. Three are based in the US, one's in Mexico. And that's a very important layer of security for our customers that they outsource these services to. And if we think about the way that we go to market with our own intellectual property solutions like First Fire, First Token that I mentioned earlier. But at the same time, we have best of breed partners. We're not a distributor, so we're, you know, we don't have a like a supermarket of solutions. But we've been very, very selective, and it's taken us a lot of time to do this, to be very, very precise and very bespoke in defining offerings that align to the standard. For example, requirement one talks about firewall, talks about DMZ. So a long time ago, we became a Palo Alto Networks partner. We're an MSSP, we're a platinum partner, and we service clients, you know, who say, hey, I need Palo Alto to protect my perimeter. I need those solutions. So that's been very nicely defined in our requirement one in our clock. If we go to requirement six, nine, and 12, requirement six is patching, requirement nine is physical security, Requirement 12 is security awareness, incident response plan, and backup recovery. Well, we created a phenomenal partnership with a company called Commvault. Commvault will be at RSA in a couple of weeks. The CEO is a very good friend of mine, Sanjay Mirchandani, and I called him up a couple of years ago around the pandemic when this case I was mentioning was happening and others, saying, "Sanjay, I'm getting called every left and right to help with digital forensics. You know, I don't have a factory of Oompa Loompas, and I mean that in a very nice way. I don't mean that in a pejorative way. I don't have a factory, right, that I can, you know, pull people out to send to help them. What are you guys doing? You're in the backup recovery space." And he said, "Well, great question, Hector. We are creating something called Commvault Cloud that is air gap, has data isolation and data immutability to help customers with cyber resilience." And so we created a design partnership with Commvault globally, where we have something called Data Preserve. It's an OEM of the Commvault Cloud solution, and it aligns to 6, 9, and 12. 6, 9, and 12. Requirement 6 is patching. I mentioned patching. So backup recovery and patching, what's there? Well, they bought a company called TrapX. You remember TrapX a couple of years ago out of Israel, deception technology. They bought it and they brought it into their wheel of services. So we use that as a compensating control for obsolete technology. So that's been very, very nice in requirement 6. Requirement 9 says that you need to physically have backups outside of your production environment. So backup recovery, very, very important. We put it in the cloud. Requirement 12 is about business continuity so that we can restore the information. So that provides perspective of some of the best of breed partners. Some of the recent ones that we've actually selected through this process are Pentera for requirement 11 and penetration testing, right? Continuous pen testing. Very, very powerful area, and Pentera has been a phenomenal partner. You'll be seeing us issue papers with them around PCI requirement 11 on testing and continuous pen testing. Wiz is another one. Obviously, Wiz has been all over the news with their recent acquisition by Google. But that's another company that's come to us and say, "Hey, can you help us be a little more elegant with all this need that's for cloud native solutions and talking about PCI?" So Wiz has been a phenomenal partner for the past 6 to 9 months, also aligned to PCI clock. And the last one is Sneak. And Sneak on application security, we also have a design partnership there. Great relationship with this chief innovation officer, Manoj Nair, who's been, and his team has been tremendous support for us in supporting requirement 6 on application security. And so great things coming, great partnerships, which are helping customers be more protected and also have, you know, this avalanche of information and information security, right, with the data deluge today, helping them be more consistent and confident that they have the right solution and right company backing them up. No pun intended.
That's fantastic. And I'm just curious, the PCI standard is getting more complex. There's hard requirements now. Do you offer training? Do you help folks become ISA certified? Like, where do we go if we need more human, warm bodies actually doing the audits?
It's a great question, Gary. And that's actually, I just came off a call with the leadership at the PCI Council this morning. We've been one of, I believe, one of the only companies, one of the few companies in the world that's been doing this for north of 10 years. We've been hosting specifically in Latin America, but in other geographies as well, ISA trainings, which that means is that we bring the PCI Council in market, in country, and we host training sessions, multi-day training sessions with an expert from the PCI Council, which then allows that person to be certified under their company. So think of a bank, think of a merchant, think of an airline. They want their specialist to be certified so that they are conversant and understand that common language I mentioned earlier when the QSA comes in and can help have a faster process to validation. So the ISA trainings, we've been running them for many, many years. We have hundreds of people trained through GM SecTech support of the PCI Council in market. We ran the first one in Mexico City in March. Phenomenal. We were oversubscribed. Next one is going to be Madrid, Spain in June. We've got a phenomenal group of folks that are coming. And one of our partners in Barcelona is coming to Madrid to help us support because we've got tremendous partnerships and interests from the Iberian Peninsula specifically. We've got another one in Colombia, in Medellin, Colombia. You're welcome to come visit us down there in July. We've got Santiago, Chile in August. And then we have Monterrey, Mexico in October, end of October. So we've got these tremendous trainings which help, again, become more conversant, the industry become more conversant and proficient with the PCI Council. Adding to that, We're actually helping the PCI Council this year running a pilot program for the PO program, which is the participating organization. So it's really a way where we're helping get companies to have a voice within the PCI Council and become a participating organization of the industry, of the payments industry.
Your incredible story. You guys really are driving PCI-led managed security into the future and helping your clients get one step ahead of the latest threat, constantly innovating. I love what you do. And you're now in 55 countries, quarter of the way through the world already. It's amazing. Is there anything you'd like to share with our viewers and listeners that we haven't covered?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that, this year there's a lot of anxiety with the new version of the standard, the hard requirements. We're here to help. There's many PCI QSA companies around the world. There's great companies out there that can support. We can obviously support, your listeners and your readers across your yoke of reach. And the reality is there's a lot of ways to help companies become compliant, right? To be able to meet and exceed the validation requirements. Don't forget tokenization. Again, our first token data buy solution has been something that we've been oversubscribed with because of that. Not so much as a network token, which goes through the journey of the payment cycle, but really to protect the information that's at rest and tokenize that information. Like the banking institution that I mentioned earlier, they try to breach that, they can't do anything with that, right? So that's a big area for us. I know tokenization is a big area for the PCI Council. Moving forward in the next couple of years. So I would expect that tokenization will continue to be a hot topic within security and how we protect all this information in this digital lifestyle that all of us are part of today.
That's great. Folks, you heard it here first. Hector Guillermo Martinez, president of GM SecTech, 55 years in business, 55 countries and growing. Folks, if you want to get one step ahead of the latest threat and actually have some resiliency with PCI compliance, and his first token sounds awesome. What a great idea. Go to gmsectech.com.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.
Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio have launched 24/7/365 live streams. Visit them online today at cyberdefense.tv and cyberdefense.radio. With your host and globally recognized cybersecurity expert and my good friend, Gary Milevsky.